We're in a new set.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Wood Veneer Hub. Shout out to them.
Tell me that doesn't look great.
We were doing a shot and it just wasn't looking correct. And this is how I was supposed to start the spot. And I'm like, this just doesn't look correct. And he's like, yeah, we're scrapping that. Thank you. That's fine. And we're going to move on to this. Dude, I'm like, that pivot call was huge. Dealing with a multi-million dollar home that has the craziest grounds ever, right? Yeah, and so then when it rains the day before, it's really helpful when it rains. And then you can't bring the bounce close on the grass. That helps a lot. I used a fish tank. I put the C70 in with a towel and you can just really dunk it like halfway under and it makes it look like you have an underwater housing.
Yeah. The coolest thing I realized is I really like contrast in lighting and a lot easier to achieve that at night because then the next shoot I had was the daytime shoot. It made me start lighting that differently because I was like, I want there to be some dark spots in this. This dude was like what I thought Hollywood directors would be like before I moved out here. He'd be like, more passion, faster. He'd also say, you know what I mean? After everything, he'd be like, so we need to get more light here. You know what I mean? And then we bring the car this way, you know what I mean? And then we'll get the light over the thing, you know what I mean?
It was honestly an amazing trip. Portugal, it may be recency bias. I think it's my favorite country in all of Europe.
I felt like that after I left Portugal.
I would try to get shots that I would take as photos, but just still videos. I started posting on YouTube again. I made one video, but I'm gonna start posting more on YouTube. And I will say, it feels really good to make horizontal videos and long form content again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 104 of the 505 podcast. This is the One-Handed Crack presented by Leisure Hydration. I'm feeling hot right now, dude. I won't even lie to you, bro. It's just light work and there's no dents on that.
Was that pre-existing?
Little spillage. Yeah, that was pre-existing. A little bit of spillage. I will say I'm going to give myself a 7.8.
I'm nervous about this one. I feel like I'm out of practice.
7.8? That's lower than I would have given you.
I went for.
I feel like you dented the shit out of it.
No, but I popped it right back on the.
You popped it back.
Yeah.
You're going to get a 7.1 for the back out.
Ooh, one of Coasty's better ones.
I don't know. You dented it, baby. 4.8, baby.
Good sound, though.
4.8.
Little ASMR.
Dude, cheers.
Cheers, boys.
I feel like it's been a minute since we potted together.
Is a trio. Yeah. God, it feels good to be
We made that awesome podcast with Nate Noah. Just you and I. Fucking rocked.
It was really good. I can't even lie.
Did you listen to it?
I edited it.
Right. So I
actually listened back a couple times.
Yeah. Got it.
It was really good.
Good pod.
We're in a new set.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Feels like Wood Veneer Hub. Shout out to them. Outfitting up.
Tell me that doesn't look great.
Yeah. If you're not on YouTube, get on YouTube and check this out.
They're going to send us one more. We're going to keep doing some renovating and we're getting a new neon sign that actually works this time.
And we ordered some new plants. So we're going to get a plant on either side.
Live plants.
Because that door we need to cover up.
Yep.
You know?
And
it is a door that leads to someone's room.
Yeah, yes. True. Yes. And new cushions for the chairs.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're moving up in the world, dude.
Moving up.
You guys got merch and that really helped us a lot.
Hey, thanks for getting the merch.
Thanks for buying the merch. Thanks for supporting us. We're sorry that it took so long, dude. I'm telling you, have you guys seen, what is that little animal Disney Channel, Disney movie that with the little animals and they're like...
Animal Crossing. No, wait, that's a show.
Minions.
No. I can't think of it.
Behind the Hedge or Across the Hedge.
Sure, it's not that, but they, in this movie that I'm thinking of, they have sloths that are working at the DMV. And those are the people that are doing our merch design.
Yeah.
They were printing it. It was absolutely ridiculous. We're sorry. We fired them.
Yeah. Nice. So basically our manufacturer sucks. And the way we went about making the merch is that we didn't make it beforehand because the pod has grown so much that we didn't know how many orders we were going to actually get. And we got a ton. So moving forward, we're basically going to be making them beforehand so that we can just like ship them out
right away.
And that means though that stock's gonna be limited, dude.
Yeah.
Which is good news for everybody involved.
Limited in stock.
Yeah, you're gonna have exclusive merch. It's gonna be great.
It's cool though, because we're getting DMs and story tags from people who got the merch and everyone seems
excited about
really
merch.
Hyped about it.
It is high quality, dude.
It fires me up.
That sweatshirt is really a good sweatshirt.
Yeah, we're gonna source a new person to print and all that good stuff. We're gonna source and it's gonna be great. I'm excited.
I can't wait to see a rock in person. It's yet to happen wearing merch. That's gonna be a crazy day.
Dude, I don't know if this is douchey to say. I was at Trader Joe's last night.
Okay.
I put my stuff down. The guy, I go, hey, and the guy looks at me. And he looks at me for so long, dude. that I'm like, okay, either this guy watches the podcast, trying to read my hat that I just got, thank you very much, or like fucking hates me. But he just looked at me for like so long and was just like, and I was like, I know, like, you shoot videos, man. I was like so close to saying it, and then I was like, I can't, like, I'm such a tool, like, who knows? But he looked like a guy that would make videos, you know, he had that vibe, and he, yeah, just, God, he just looked at me like, I've never been looked at like that before.
So what was it?
And he said, like, you work today, and I was like, maybe that's like a clue in, like, he's like, maybe, and I was like, yeah, I did. I didn't like say anything. I don't know. I never found out.
Dude, so I was at the Lakers game the other day, and I'm sitting there like right at the court side thing, and this guy walks up. He goes, "Yo, Braden, super nice to meet you, man." And I'm like, "Yeah, what's where are we going with this?" You know, I didn't realize it was Bo Nix's agent.
Oh,
and we're in a text message chain. We're in a text chain, so we were chatting. And he's like, "Could you get a photo of Bo?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem." And so I was so confused because he didn't say I'm blah blah blah. He just went, "Braden, super nice to meet you." And I'm sitting there, I'm like, big fan of the pod, huh? Like, I almost threw that out, and I was like, "So, what do you do?" You, yeah, know? And he was like, "Dude, Bo Nix's agent, man." Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, I'm such an idiot, dude."
It is such a funny thing.
He didn't have his contact photo. Right. I didn't know. I had no idea. I was so confused. And I've talked to people around the arena before, so right. I was so confused. It was so funny.
That's the funny thing. Not to be just sound so fucking Hollywood, but Lainey took me to the Monkey Man little screening at CAA.
I wanted to go so bad.
It was fucking insane, dude. Craziest action movie I've ever seen, without a doubt.
Jordan Peele, right?
So Jordan Peele produced it. Dev Patel starred, acted, wrote it, everything. There is some stuff that everyone was just going, because it's like gruesome, dude.
Oh, wow.
But it's cool because it's the main character, like the protagonist is the one that's doing like some fucked up shit, but like killing bad guys, but like, it's fucking nuts. But
don't ruin this movie, dude.
There's not. But there's so many famous people at this thing. And there's also like Lena is like, has friends that worked at CAA too, that like I might have met. I can't remember, like a party here and there. But then there's also like Shailene Woodley. And I like look at, I think it was like Jimmy Yang, you know, the comedian that's in like Silicon Valley. And I was like, I almost feel like, what's up? Oh, wait, I don't know if I know you or if you're famous or like I kind of met you once. You know what I mean? And then I have to like go through my brain process. I almost said hi to so many, just like, Chris Pine, what's up? Oh, never mind. Fucking, yeah, dude, it happens over and over again.
I feel like famous people must deal with that all the time because one, they meet so many people.
So they're like, but, do I know you?
But you don't know if this person like is a fan,
right?
Or if you've met them before.
Right, I'm sure that happens all the goddamn time.
I feel like if you yourself personally just act super confident, I would think you're my best buddy if I was a celebrity. I'd be like, oh, dude, this Chase guy, I must know this guy.
I will say when I met Will Smith, I was like, what's up? And he's like, what's up, dog? And he gave me a hug and just kept walking. And I was like, goddamn, I didn't even get to say my name or anything. You just probably thought I was like working on whatever, something. Anyways, speaking of working.
Yeah, dude, I've been working on some fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
And this new video that I just made, okay? Mm-hmm. Guess what song I used?
I would guess, if I were to guess, it's either an old Ye song or Artlist.io.
It's Artlist.io,
nice,
dude.
Better choice,
Artlist.io, dude. And what's really cool about Artlist.io, okay? If you use our little code down below, mm-hmm, and I use their song for these spots, they ran so much money of ads behind them. You don't have to pay anything extra. It's just part of the deal with them. So you buy a subscription for the year, you get 2 months for free. And if their company runs ads with it, that's all covered. All that good stuff's covered.
And
which
so
is great.
That's crazy.
Quick question. Hmm. What was the brand that you were shooting for?
Their brand is Nike Swim.
Nice. Heard of it.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was the first time that I've ever, like in college, right, with Oregon, a lot of our stuff would get reshared to Nike, but it's not like they're paying me money to do the thing.
Feels different.
Feels different, yeah. It felt really good. It was really exciting. And the craziest part about the spot, though, that we did was I actually wasn't even like hired for video.
Nice.
So we were hired to do photo, and I was like, you know what? This is
and you're kind of just like producing this.
Yeah, thing? We're producing all the photos, and I'm like, we're gonna have a lot of time at this house. We should use it. We should use it for video too, which was so hard to do photo and video together.
Terrible, dude.
Every shoot that I've ever been on, social, bigger budget, whatever, and you're doing photo and video simultaneously, and you need the talent for both. It's so tricky.
So tricky.
So tricky to balance. Like, okay, you have them from 3 to 3:15, and then photo is gonna pop in and do five stills, and you're gonna move the lights, and it's very tricky to do both, and it's something I'm still learning through.
You need a really good AD. You gotta plan out, like, okay, the lights are gonna be set up like this. You actually have to get this photo then, because they're gonna shoot this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Something that does help, though, when you are doing photo and video is choosing the song before you actually go to film.
Oh, it helped me so much. So I had, and when you do this right, I don't ever, for the most part anymore, ever have the client tell me I want to change the song. Ever, right. Ever.
Music taste is just that good.
It's just that good. It's just that good. Because you send it to them beforehand, and if they hate it, you change it again. So right. then you're not pissed off like, oh, I just edited this whole video. And if you're a client and you for some reason found this podcast, it's the biggest pain in the ass to do the entire thing and then say, hey, I want to change it.
Right.
It makes you just want to drink bleach. So totally. It's like, it
because
just ruins
people
it.
Think that you can just change the song, no. but you don't realize that as a you gotta cut as an editor, you're cutting to the beat of the song.
Yeah, the whole entire thing is ruined and you have to redo it. And so then it takes so much time back. So if you can send it to them beforehand and they say, hey, like this or like this vibe, find us yep. five more to like pick from, then everything's dialed, right? All Artlist.io songs, then you're good to go. You're locked in.
Well, the other thing that's nice about that is that they want more of that vibe too. You just go similar songs on yeah. Artlist. Bang, dude.
Yeah, and so you find these songs and I have them, I've been playing them in my car 24/7, dude. When I'm driving, I'm just visualizing, right? I'm just I'm locked in, dude. I'm locked
not
in.
Not even focusing on the road.
No, just locked in, eyes closed, Tesla's driving yeah, itself. Yeah. Dude, oh wait, they updated the self-driving in the Tesla. I want to say, right, personally, mm-hmm. okay, I think that I'm like Max Verstappen on the road. Sure. And I stand by that. Yeah. I really do. I think I could go
I've
up.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I think I could go up with the best F1 drivers and hold my own.
Sure.
And like a B-level team, B-minus, sure. I might be there, you know? Yeah. Tesla self-driving is like my 89-year-old grandma driving the car.
Oh, I bet.
And it is so slow, dude. I tried to do it today. And the thing's like, I'm going to change lanes. And it's like,
dangerous to change
terrible.
Lanes like that.
Terrible, dude.
I
terrible.
Like a really strong flick. If I'm changing lanes, it's no, 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 yes. And then I'm in that lane, dude.
Dude, I will say, I think
that's how I merge, bro.
I think in an alternate universe, Braden became an F1 driver, and me and Chase are filming him
sure.
and using an Artlist song
Artlist
in our
song for
in
sure.
our recap video.
I actually own the team.
Okay. You own the yeah. team.
I'm the rich guy that owns the team. Nice. And I'm telling you, we got to use Artlist though because yeah. they're the best,
dude.
Anyways, so this shoot, you got photos, you got videos, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
But I will say real quick before we sure. move on, use the link in our description below. You get 2 months free with Artlist. It is the best.
It Boom. Is the best. I mean, I use it for everything.
Yeah.
Every time. Seriously, 100%.
What do you got for me?
I was just wondering, fucking, what you learned on this shoot.
Dude, so much. Let me tell you, okay? You need to be able to scout before. And this fella who we rented this house from
percent.
Was out of town for
that's
the weekend.
That's terrible.
Brutal.
I think that's the most important thing.
I agree completely, dude. You have to go to take pictures and use the Sun Tracker app so you yep. can see where that little sun's going to be and yep. kind of plan everything out. It helps so much.
And you can just, you learn so much about like, oh, this shot would be cool or this. And then you can prepare like, okay, I'm going to need this lens because that could have made that. And if you're there and you're like, fuck, that shot could have been cool. We don't have time to we don't have time to set it up because I didn't know that that shot was going to be there. Like scouting is so important.
Yeah. And I think just time, you got to realize that setting stuff up, especially when you have a lean, mean crew, it takes so much more time than you think. And mm-hmm. especially when you have someone that's like not a lighting person or not a gaffer and they're trying to help you,
yeah.
you're running on 110% and the other person's running on like, hey, I don't know, where the fuck does this thing go? And it's like,
yeah.
oh, and you're like, that's just second nature to me now. But like, they don't know. They're not a lighting person. So accounting for that time to set up and whatnot just takes, oh my God, it takes so much time. And then you're running late and then you're missing shots because of that. And the other thing I think that was really important that we talked through as a team, I had Kyle Reef and Hayden helped me with this, and they all brought something completely different to the table. We were all doing like 17 things
right.
each. Kyle, I remember we were doing a shot and it just wasn't looking correct. I was like, damn, this sucks. And this is how I was supposed to start the spot. And I'm like, this just doesn't look correct. And yeah. he's like, yeah, we're scrapping that. Thank you. That's fine. And we're going to move on to this. And I was like, that was after we were just chatting, because we always, whenever I do a shoot, I do like a post meeting
yeah.
over dinner or something. We'll like chat what went well, what went bad. And he's like, dude, I'm like, that pivot call was huge, because we tried to nail it for like about six minutes. And
yeah.
you burn those minutes, they're gone. And then if you keep trying to do it for 10 more minutes, now you're 16 minutes deep and then you don't have a shot still.
Right.
You know, so he was like, let's pivot, let's do this. And we actually took inspo from a shoot that me and Chase did for Doodles, where I jumped up in the air and Chase like cut me into a bunch of different
yep.
clothes,
yep.
which was really cool. And so we basically had a slider and there were so many different pairs of shorts using like a Dana Dolly from Vaxxas. Vaxxas
nice,
has
nice.
Their own little dolly.
Dana Dolly's sick, yeah.
Yeah, so Vaxxas dolly and it's going backwards and then forward, but I wish that I would have done the same speed every time.
Yeah, it's a little...
Yeah, I was doing a little different speeds than when I was cutting it together. I was like, damn, this isn't cutting perfectly.
You almost need like a motion
Motorized.
Control.
I agree completely. Yeah, motion control.
Like the Doodles thing, I think I just put it out camera on a tripod and then just digitally zoomed in, because then you just kind of nail it. And you nailed those. I will say you nailed those jumps in the doodles thing. So you got to jump the same way every time. That looks pretty clean. I mean, your thing, it still totally works. It just, yeah, you almost need, like, if it's perfect, like on a motorized thing, it looks so crazy.
I agree completely.
But you make that, I won't say it's a mistake, but you do it that way. You do it that way once and you're like, okay, I did it that way. I know now moving forward how to fix it. Another thing about timing is you're shooting outside. Oh, so God. You're dealing, it's not just God. Like how much time you're on set, but you're dealing with the sunlight as well. So that's why you got to stay on track, because I'm sure you had certain shots that were like, okay, we need to shoot these first because the sun is in a certain place and then we're going to move on to these other shots.
And you're dealing with a multi-million dollar home that has the craziest grounds right? Yeah, and so then when it rains the day before, it's really helpful when it rains and then you can't bring the bounce close on the grass. That helps a lot.
That sucks.
And so when I got there, I had 3 600Ds. And I was bouncing them to this 12 by 12, like
all three of them.
Ultra bounce. Yeah, nice. Yeah. It's an ultra bounce. It's big white, basically like a big white wall kind of situation, right? Well, then the wind picked up. Oh, I had 50 pounds of sand on each of those bags, on each of those big highs, the little legs. And all of a sudden, I'm just sitting there in slow motion doing the dolly. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's flying through the air. Yeah. Yeah, that's flying. And it was the slowest, like, anti-climb. It was like,
yeah.
And it just fell. I'm like, okay, well, picked it back up, put more sand on it. I'm like, Jesus, how much fucking sand? It was basically making a sail. It was.
That is like a sail. Yeah.
And I remember, dude, I was on a shoot with Hyundai. Mm-hmm. This was a long time ago. Yeah. Dude, and they had a 12 by 12, same thing. It was so windy out in the California Proving Grounds.
Oh my God,
it
dude.
It takes this thing, goes like 10 feet up in the air. This thing is so heavy.
In the air.
In the air, dude. Oh, it was flying. It was the biggest wind.
That is the windiest place on the fucking planet.
Oh yeah,
dude.
It took it up in the air and I'm like, oh, so we were done. We were like over by the crafty area and I'm like, oh, that's not good. And it hit someone in the fucking head.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and they were cut their head and I was like, this is a nightmare. And then they were done. They had just wrapped and then it like so much sand on those legs too. Dude. I was thinking about this. I was like, you need, if you have something outside like that, no matter what, you need two people sitting there holding it, no matter what.
If it's that windy.
If it's that windy. Yeah. And it wasn't even that windy that day. It was just storming and it just kind of, it was the perfect little angle to like catch enough wind under it and just boom, popped it over. So that was interesting. And the trickiest part though was I was thinking, okay, I'm going to bounce this light. I'm going to bounce it in so it's really soft.
Yeah.
But then they were too far away from the ultra bounce because the grass was so wet. And so if just by stepping on the grass, we were low key, not ruining it, but it was because I was like, if there was more than like a couple of us here, this would have destroyed the whole grass. You know, remember like playing beer dye in college and on that grass, how it just takes a circle.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like we were doing, just being around this dolly. I'm like, dude, everyone get off the grass.
Yeah. Now, what about throwing maybe some wood down or something like over the grass that you could walk on or set stuff on? Do you think that would help?
Yeah, that would have been smart. And also when we're pinning the talent's feet, because they're switching in and out of fits, we came, because I was like, okay, I'm going to put this like little daisy here. That was an awful idea because the little daisy's just flying away. Okay. You needed golf pin tees.
Oh yeah.
So golf tees.
If you're in the grass.
And put them where their feet or toes are going to be. So that way their toes hit the golf tees every single time. If you're doing something in grass and you need to match cut it.
That's smart.
Yeah. That'll just change like my whole, I was like sitting there. I'm like, what would work? Not stones. Cause then you can see the stones. Yeah. I'm like, dude, if you shove a tee down.
All the way down.
That's
really
you wouldn't
smart.
See it at all. And it would be perfect. It ended up working. We literally had Kyle would go. Guy's like sack is right in his face he's like putting his fingers down. He's like down here, and the guy, he's like, you're good to move back. And then the guy would back up and change, and he's like, okay, toes touching those front fingertips, and then he'd pull him. He's like, whoo, we're good, dude. We're good. It was so funny.
That's fucking awesome.
Kyle was like our Swiss Army knife, and then Reef was producing, and Hayden was doing photo. But I mean, having Kai there was so nice because I would be setting up the frame and then Kyle would come in and say, well, what if we did it like this? Or what if we had the model do this? And when you have someone who's playing like almost like a, it's like a hybrid director slash like low-key DP.
Yeah,
he's like helping me with all of it. And we're kind of all playing multiple roles. It was super helpful. But, and I used a fish tank.
I was going to say, how'd you get the underwater
stuff? To get the underwater stuff. And that was a $20 find at Petco.
Wow.
And I put the C70 in with a towel and you can just really dunk it like halfway under and it makes it look like you have an underwater housing. Yeah, crazy. You do, I will say, you get like one really good shot of it down. And then if you come halfway up, you got to wipe it.
Oh,
you gotta wipe the front, for sure. Pain in the ass. Yeah. You got to wipe the front, wipe the back. And so with those underwater housings, they have like a spray that makes it just glide right off.
Yeah.
And so I wished I would have had like a spray to make it. I didn't think of the spray.
You're doing another one though, and you're going to get some underwater housing?
Yeah, we found a guy on ShareGrid who has an underwater housing, right? Nice. And he's like, yo, I shoot... Dude, this guy shoots.
So are you like renting him kind of?
Well, then he was like, we're like, hey, can we rent your rig? He goes, I would love to help. He's like, he hurt his back recently and he's like, I can't be in the water, but my assistant will be in the water. And he's like, we'll set up underwater strobes. I'm like, underwater strobes, dude, this is going to look insane.
Yeah.
Dude, you won't believe this. So I went and got a clothing rack that I found that floats the bottom of the pool. Uh-huh. We're going to have like the models underwater looking through the clothes. So it's going to be like a 6-second little social piece that people can run ads
with.
That's
cool.
And so we put rocks in the pockets because you have to weight them down. And then I got clear, super ultra fine fishing line with a safety pin to the bottom of the shorts to tug them so they're tight. So then the models are gonna be able to go down there. They're not gonna be able to have to open their eyes, but I'm gonna have to like guide them to grab it, and they're just gonna be like holding it, looking at it. Could you imagine? Well, it'll look weird if you see their eyes. We're gonna see from the back.
Yeah.
So you'll see from the back, and there's gonna be like 10 of these different shorts on this clothing rack, and I thought that was kind of
a cool
shot.
And they're
gonna
push them across.
Kyle came up with that idea, yeah.
That's really, dude, it's fun because if you do more of these and shit, like shooting underwater, similar like when I was learning how to shoot cars, it's like so technical and there's so many like specific things to that. And just like shooting underwater, God, like you're gonna learn so much about just fucking underwater shit, which is really fun.
All I could think about the whole time when I was shooting with the fish tank, I'm like, I need a bounce card, dude.
Yeah,
I need someone
scooping. You need more light down there.
Yeah, I need someone scooping and bouncing the sun right onto them.
Totally.
And he's like, oh, I don't. He's like, dude, that's rookie shit. Yeah. I got strobes, dude. Yeah, they're gonna go underwater.
Underwater light is probably huge.
He said we were gonna get a crate and zip tie it together and have this crate be his table underwater. I was like, this is unbelievable.
This guy's crazy.
Oh no, dude. This is legit. Yeah. Like this, I saw his photos.
He's like, I'm just gonna live down there.
He's 5 feet away from a great white shark and its teeth are just like, and he just has like the craziest.
Like, I'm bringing the shark.
Yeah, he's like, I actually brought my pet shark. Yeah. It's like in a trailer. Yeah, it's so interesting. You learn so much though when you're on stuff like that. And I think the way that you keep getting better though is you go back and you talk about things you made. You made the mistakes on. You don't just make the mistakes and keep learning from it. One thing too that I will give you just my advice on is with all of your gear that you bring, you should label that shit if there's multiple people coming. Got it. So let's say you have like 17 Pelican cases. Mm. This is Figs with a piece of tape or whatever, and you stick it to the ground. This is Chase's, this is Kostas's. And then that way, if you have to tell a PA or something, go run and get this multi-tool from Figs case. It's like, where's that at? There's 47 Pelicans
and
here.
And then you don't lose shit. You don't get shit in different cases.
Dude, yeah. The first time we ever did something together as a team, we lost like a V-mount battery and they're like $400. So that was really cool.
Just one. The first thing you and I did.
What did we lose on that one?
Oh, yeah, like an FX3. My FX. I don't know if we want to talk about that.
My FX3 is just gone.
Smaller shit.
Gone forever.
What did you use to film?
I used the C70.
Good camera.
A great camera. Loved it.
You updated to RAW yet?
No, I'm gonna do it today.
You can update it to
the
RAW.
Is fire.
RAW
dude.
Light, dude.
Wow. It's, you get more, it's a little wider, mm-hmm. which is crazy. So you're all of a sudden our 15 is like a 14.
Yeah.
And it's just.
Oh, wait, what?
I think it's because
uses more of the sensor?
You get more, I swear to God you do. It's fucking weird.
You promise?
You get more width at least.
Oh.
So you get wider on the width, the height is still the same. So you have to punch into like, and then you kind of lose it, but you could like nudge it over if you need to.
Speaking of Canon, I was at the Colin and Samir event.
Yes.
They had a Canon event this weekend. So cool, dude. They were talking about, they had this new AR, VR little lens situation thing that Canon's
like
made.
Like the dual fisheye thing.
Yeah, and it's like the widest thing ever. It's like if this was the lens and I put my hand right here, you can see it.
It's like a dual 8mm or whatever.
Yeah, it was cool. So many, I had no idea who was gonna be there. I was like, there's only like 40 people on this list. And there was everyone creates stuff. This one guy I met, he's like, I do stretching content. I'm like, this is the most crazy.
Stretching.
And dude, his page is so helpful. I was using some of the stuff for the run.
Oh, dude, I could use that.
Yeah, it was awesome. And every single person that you met just had a different thing that they were passionate about. You met this one guy, this one dude committed to the bit so hard. He walked in and I'm like, that guy's in a fucking chef outfit.
Yeah.
Like, what is going
That's
on?
That's the thing.
Yeah, no. And he had like, I saw like he had something in his pocket and it was a cocoa plant. And it was like a red cocoa plant. And he's like, oh, I make chocolate. That's my business. And he was giving out testers of the chocolate. And it was pretty cool. I met another person that was doing tech content, like really, really niche tech stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy because you don't think that all of these different things exist until then you meet a person who's like, oh, I talk about this. I'm like, that is, I didn't even know there's a group for that, but there's a group for everything.
It's also interesting that all these people that are doing stretching tech, chefs, chocolate, are also like Canon people. You know, like they're like also camera guys kind of.
Yeah, no, they are. Fun. It is weird. Yeah, you talk, I'm like, oh, what are you shooting on? I'm using this.
Right.
Every one of us had like one little thing in common, whether it was what we shoot on, how what platforms we use, what you're trying to do, how are you making money with this? So I'm doing brand deals with X, Y, and Z. And then they did like a little panel and they were talking about how they run their show, the future of AR and VR. It was interesting.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
What were they saying is the future?
I think from my biggest takeaways from this is AR and VR is going to be something I think that will be prominent in the future. I don't think it's right now.
I agree.
I think Canon's a little ahead of the curve on it. Like I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, this is cool. But then they're answering questions about their workflow with it. And I'm like, it's already fucking hard enough to make a video. It's already hard to make a YouTube video or an Instagram video. And I'm like, I don't think there's enough people that are using AR and VR in their homes yet.
Right.
And then especially after the Vision Pro. The Vision Pro is like one of the most returned items ever. Dude.
Oh, really?
I was thinking about this the other day.
That good no, key. and I'm not...
You guys going to get them? Remember, you guys are so down to get them?
No, I was. I was talking a huge game, and I just don't have a use for it yet.
No, dude, I
think,
I think
V2 or V3. I could see myself getting one maybe in
price
like 5
years.
Price
points way too fucking high, dude. A $4,400. That is ridiculous. Yeah. Those are people's home payments.
If you guys want to go back to the episode on VR when I say that it's going to flop, dude. What's up, dude?
I will say, though, what could be cool for our podcast specifically is setting up some sort of camera that is like VR.
Yeah.
And then you put the Vision Pros on. It's like you're sitting at the table with the
boys.
That would be
sick.
That's different.
That was the coolest part though. So they had all these Oculuses, right?
Yeah.
This is what got me fired. Because I do think it's a little bit in the future.
Yeah. Because Canon's ahead of the fucking game.
Yeah. They're trying to be like, no, it's now. Just like, give it a few years.
But Colin and Samir had filmed a video specifically in AR and VR. And so then I didn't even know. I was just walking around. They have these Oculus guys, the Canon's guys, like, you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, sure. I pop in, I'm in their fucking studio. And I'm looking around and I could grab stuff and then like Samir's like right here. And I'm like, this is pretty cool. We're sitting at the table with one another. So I was like, I was chatting with Samir about it and I was like, I could see there being a time, right? Where you have your setup for your podcast. Cause I'm like, we're not really doing anything, but he's like, no, but you're hanging out in a more inclusive way. And think about how you listen to a pod. He's like, you might do it while you're cleaning your house. He goes, I could see a world where your fans are sitting at the table with you and they're eating their dinner, right? They're just eating their dinner or whatever and they're just kicking it with you in their Oculus. I just think the only reason why I see it being a year away or something is because the price point on these needs to go down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Price point needs to go down. And it's like, remember back when Steve Jobs was like, everyone's going to have a home computer. And people are like, absolutely not.
Totally.
No one's having a home computer. I think it's a situation like that where I'm like, this could totally be a thing because I'm sitting there and I was just sitting on the little couch and I'm like, this is cool. Like, this is a fun way to watch your guys' pod and sit here. I'm looking around. I can see the fucking lights in their studio, which you can't see.
Yeah.
And the regular, and you can see all the Canon cameras. You can see their C70s. You can see their producer. He's like, you're doing great, sweetie.
Right.
Like in the corner. It's just cool. And it's interesting. And it got me thinking a ton about where we're headed and where content creation could go. And people were like, well, are we going to use it right now? And the Canon rep had an interesting statement. He's like, it's just a tool. He's like, whether you use it or not, whatever.
Right.
He's like, but this is just a tool that if you want to connect deeper with your audience, I think it'd be something that I would look into. And I was like, I think that is where, as a great statement regarding AR and VR at this specific moment.
And how was the Oculus versus the Vision Pro?
They didn't have, just after trying it, the Oculus just feels cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels cheap. But I will say it's way more comfortable to wear. Dude, that Vision Pro is heavy as fuck on your face. So heavy.
For me, it's just like, what are we going to, like, I just don't feel like, I do agree that probably it will be in homes.
Something.
I always thought it would just be like, I'd just be like a couple in the office or something. Because I just don't feel like the use case. I'm like, what are you going to scroll Reddit with your fucking Clunkmaster 3000 on your face? You know what I mean?
Know.
Like, there's no point.
And we were saying, just like a few of us that were chatting, I'm like, it's interesting because does it take away from us like living? Like living and being in the moment and like what it takes to be human. But then I'm over here thinking, I'm like, on this convo, this is one of the last things I'll say, is when we were playing COD, right? Yeah, during the pandemic.
God, fun.
Best time of my life.
Yeah.
Best time of my life playing COD in the pandemic was so fun. The idea of being connected with your boys or with your homegirls during that period of time and thinking about, oh shit, what if we were on these little,
so fun.
What if we're on these little head things though? And I was like, we're all on a couch and we're playing together.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fun.
Right.
So I'm like, I see cases where this can be a thing and can be in our society. I just don't know if it's today, but it was really cool. It was a very eye-opening conversation. Dude, they're just the nicest guys. They did a Q&A for like forever, and they had a really funny guy that was doing their, he was like their, it was like you two or Colin and Samir, and then there's another guy.
Mediator.
Mediator guy. Yeah. He was so fucking funny. He was doing funny bits like the whole time.
Oh, that's great.
It was hilarious. It was a great event. I'm hyped that they allowed me to come.
It's cool that you've connected with them.
Yeah.
They've been huge inspirations for us.
Yeah, huge inspirations for the show. We draw a lot from them. I was just listen to their pod yesterday on my run. On the topic of running, dude, I got to tell you guys this. I figured it out. I really have. Okay. I've done a lot of soul searching, okay? Because running fucking sucks, okay? And I stand by that it's not fun.
No.
Okay? And I'm getting faster.
Yeah.
I'm getting to where I'm like in my Usain Bolt numbers.
Sure,
okay,
for me.
Yeah, and that's an 8-minute pace.
Yeah.
Okay? But the reason why everyone shares their fucking running stories is because it sucks so bad that you gotta let other people know, dude, I'm doing this thing, man. That's why people are posting these stories, bro. I had an epiphany on the run last night. I was like, this sucks.
Well, what did you think it was before?
I don't know. I just didn't know.
Like self-indulgence.
Like look how fucking fast I am, dude. I'm fast. I'm doing this and you're asleep. I don't know. I don't know if they're wanting to. It's because it sucks so bad. You got to let other people know I'm about this life.
Yeah.
I'm about
it. There is something about like when you're running, it's like, God, I should probably take a video of my feet moving like that. Like it just sucks, dude. It really blows.
Dude, it's so funny because I was talking to my mom and she's like, Have you enjoyed it anymore? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's so hard, dude.
Yeah.
You're like, you're fighting yourself and then you want to quit so bad. And then it's 6:30 in the morning and you're down in Santa Monica at the pier.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to run 8 miles to get back home.
Yeah.
This is so far.
That's the worst feeling when you're far and you're like, fuck.
You're like, dude, I have no other option. Then your body's saying, hey, you should walk. And I'm like, no, we can't walk, dude. We got to keep pushing. We got to keep going. And this is my 38th run. And I feel like I'm finally getting a little bit quicker, but it's just ridiculous.
I started kind of running again. I've gone on 2, and I think I'm going to go on a third one today.
He hit a 0.8 and a 1.4.
We're pretty much at the same level, me and Brayden. I will say what has been nice is going to a location where like the view is nice.
Yeah, huge.
Like instead of running like out of your apartment, like taking the 10 minutes for us to drive down to the beach and then go run at the beach.
It's way better.
It really makes a difference.
To the beach. I just run to the beach.
I'm working up to it.
I'm a very pro run somewhere cool. It just changes the whole thing. Or honestly, there's a track by my house. I like running on the track for some reason.
Oh, really?
Because I kind of know where you're at, you know? It's not out of something, you know? It's kind of funny because then you look at your map and it's just a circle. It's really
just
thick.
A bunch of squiggly lines.
Yeah.
It's interesting, dude. You also were shooting something really cool this last week. I wanted to be there so bad.
God, dude.
I was bugging him the whole shoot, dude.
He really was. It was pretty fun. Dude,
Brayden, I got to work. So
it was like midnight. And I was like, hey, so what's the update? What lenses are you guys using?
It was crazy because it was one of those things where, so it was 3 night shoots in a row. Scheduled. I mean, we broke early a couple times, but barely. Not the first night. Fucking like we get there at 6 p.m. You have like dinner kind of with the team, watch the sun kind of set as you like set up lights, and then we'd basically work until the sun rose, which is like 6 a.m.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have to work like from like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
So not
like a normal
next,
day?
Not, well, it was weekend shoots, which also sucked, but you can't shut down downtown LA at night on the weekday. So you have to do it on the weekend because of businesses and everything. So we had to do it on the weekend. The hardest shoot day was the Friday though, because I did like work in the day. I had like other shit I had to get done. And then I'm like, fuck, I got to go to this fucking shoot.
Take a little nap.
I don't think I did even.
So you're up like close to 24 hours.
But the
hours.
Weird thing I realized is that when I was like, cause I get really tired, you know, come 11:30, whatever normally. But like being like, all right, I gotta go work. And then like just being in that mindset, it just felt different. Like night didn't feel like night, it just felt like dark.
Did you just drink caffeine or no?
I had a lot of caffeine, but also I just had, it was like your shoot. I had so much to fucking get done. And I was just thinking, I was like excited about what I was getting. And so like, I didn't feel tired until we were like, all right, we wrapped it. And then I'm like, oh fuck, I'm tired.
And what time was it at?
I think we wrapped the first night at like 5:45 maybe.
And what time did you go to bed, and what time did you wake up?
So then I'm just driving home in witching hour. You know, it's just the sun's coming up and I'm like, fuck. Like, cause I just want to get home before the sun rose so bad. Cause it's just confusing. It's hard to go to bed when the sun's up.
Your body's all confused.
Then I would sleep. I could sleep till like, I would sleep at like from like 6:30 a.m. to like 1. If I could sleep till 1, I'd be pumped. And then I would like eat lunch and just be like, fuck. Like just a zombie.
It was a grind.
It was 3-day grind. But it was cool because lighting, so I rented a shit ton of lights, 2 600Cs, and then a 600 or a aperture 60D, just those little ones you can put batteries on, because we had a lot of like bright interior stuff. Are rad.
So just in the car?
Yeah. So we'd have like someone sit in the car, and then like, you, because we were doing a lot of stuff, we'd like bring up the light basically, so you can just like crank it. There's like a wheel on the side of those things, so you can just really crank it up. Fine. Those are sick, and they're not that expensive, low-key.
Love that.
So it was really cool. The coolest thing I realized is I really like contrast in lighting. Like I really like, some stuff is bright, like really bright. Some stuff is fucking dark, you know? And a lot easier to achieve that at night, obviously, because your background is pitch black basically, except for like some night street lights, which help because you can separate the black with like a little building skyscraper with like a couple office windows. That really helps, you know? But it made me actually change how I wanted to, because then the next shoot I had was a daytime shoot, and I was like, I really want to change, like it made me start lighting that differently, because I was like, I want there to be some dark spots in this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, this is bright, but then I'm using more flags than I am lights, and I'm using like barn doors because I'm like, okay, I want this part of the thing to feel dark like it was at nighttime, because then you have this beautiful contrast. You can kind of like draw your eye to like the thing that's bright, you know?
Using barn doors
or just like trying to like flag, like say like the sun's coming this way and be like, we just need like this to be dark, like just get like a big fucking
so black, you'd get like a big negative like, fill, and that would just cut the sun so it wouldn't come onto the set.
Just so like there'd the be car. Like someone that's bright here. Well, this is actually for like a bottle thing, but like the bottle's bright here, there's like some things that are bright, but then like there's a part of the background that's like fucking really like deeply in shadow. I just feel like it gives you so much more contrast just in general, and then like the shot itself looks a lot cooler.
More interesting.
So do you feel like you're finding a style that you like to shoot
maybe
in more?
I definitely like hard dramatic shit. I mean all the movies are like, I just want it overly dramatic all the fucking time.
And so on a shoot, yeah, on dope. A shoot like this,
yes,
like you're doing the social pieces, and yes, then there's another team that's making like the full blown commercial.
Yeah, so there's like it's a very expensive fucking Genesis commercial, 3 nights. I'm doing all like the B unit stuff, which we still had like talent and stuff. It was just like, basically the main difference is we have way less money. And we're making stuff that's vertical, but it's still like, you know, it's like some of it's like a minute long and it's like pretty involved shit.
And you have separate talent for your stuff?
Yes, we have our own talent. We had, unfortunately, it was me, a photographer, who, and we didn't have a gaffer. So him and I were just like, all right, your turn. And I'd be like doing the fucking
thing. That's fun though.
It was kind of fun. We were kind of buddies in crime. Like we were in it.
Marty?
Yeah, Marty. Marty was doing it. Marty was like, dude, he's so fucking funny. First of all, he,
for lots of stories of this, Marty.
For one, cause we're shooting downtown LA, which is not a nice place, especially at 4 a.m. And we were talking on the tech scout. I'm like, my biggest concern is that we're going to run out of power. So I ended up getting like 3 huge generators. And he's like, he's Scottish as fuck. He's like, my biggest concern is getting butt fucked and stabbed in the back. He's like, and then power. And I'm like, you're actually 100% right. So we were like shooting. So at some point we were shooting and I was like looking behind him like, fuck, I hope he doesn't get stabbed, you know, and like vice versa.
In downtown LA. In downtown LA. Yeah.
When we had enough people around, it wasn't that scary, but like we had someone get groped, like an AD got groped. Like,
from
dude,
a homeless guy?
Just a random, the people are, I mean, it's crazy down well, there. Well, dude, that's like a war zone.
That hour, nothing just good happens past midnight. No. That's what
stop
Brenda
anything.
Used to say.
Dude, it's really true. But so the main unit, the DP was Rodrigo Prieto, who shot Killers of the Flower Moon and Barbie last year. I mean, he shot Wolf of Wall Street. He
this
shot like,
a
all
big
the
dog.
Biggest movies. Then you have the director who he shot the Sony Bravia spot where all like the bouncing balls are shooting, coming down San Francisco. And it's like that really slow song. Yes. This dude was like what I thought Hollywood directors would be like before I moved out here. Like just like pure, he'd be like, more passion, faster. And he also would say, he'd also say, you know what I mean? After everything, which I love. So he would
I have
be
buddies like that. Dude,
he'd be like, so we need to get more light here. You know what I mean? And then we bring the car this way. You know what I mean? And then we'll get the light over the thing. You know what I mean? And dude, I fucking loved it. And he invented this thing for the car. I think I can share this. Well, we'll find out. He invented this thing for the car where it's attached to the car. It rigs up. It's a moving LED panel that had moving like LED lights scanning across the top of the car that's built onto the car as it could drive. So car's driving with like crazy lights moving over the top, and then they just VFX it out. And someone was like, holy shit, it's working. And he goes, wouldn't invent something I knew wouldn't work. You know what I mean? And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. This guy was the coolest. Like, it was 4 a.m. and he had so much energy. And I was like, I am revitalized, like, shoot my shit now, just like watching him direct these scenes.
Oh my God.
It's cool. It was all like spotlighty. It's very, very dope.
So, what did you learn from seeing someone who shot, who's won Oscars, who's worked on the biggest sets ever? What did they bring to the table?
The biggest thing I would say is that there's no limit to their imagination on what they can fucking do. Like, there's these shots where they were like, we're going to have 100 lamps on dimmers going off all at different times. And I'm like, that's insane. Like, that is such an insane thing to see a lamp store and be like, let's get more lamps and have one person on each lamp dimming them individually at the different times. Like,
they had 100 people dimming 100 lamps?
Well, they actually set it up through a computer that like could do it all in like one. But like, each individual lamp was set up on a dimmer. It's just fucking
and then
nuts.
It was like, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, it looks so cool. You'll see the spot. But like, And then they had like, they set up like different intersections that like they controlled like the movement of the traffic lights, so they could like follow the car. Like, and it's just like, you never think to even, you'd be like, this is so crazy that like, you never even say it out loud to like, oh, let's do this. But like, they just know, one, they just know they've worked on the biggest shit. So they know that it's possible with more money and time basically. And they just like, I don't know, just dream fucking big, which is really cool. I mean, it's crazy to have that much, like,
that's awesome.
I can get anything made basically. And then, I mean, I've seen cuts. It looks like really amazing. It's really fucking cool.
And so on a big commercial shoot like this, what does the timeline look like between getting the creative, like the idea, or they come to, you know, your agency and be like, okay, we need this commercial made. What does the timeline on like production or pre-production look like, then production, and then how long does it take to like edit and then finally come out?
Right. Super fast. It's like, they basically, the client is like, we're coming out with a new version of this car or whatever. And then, so then the creators at the agency jam on like some ideas, and then they go out to directors, and the directors like look at their ideas and then like pitch them like a treatment of like, okay, this is how we'd really make it dope, and like other ideas. Like, they kind of have a general, the agency has a general concept. The directors like make it more specific and like, we'll have this on the car and it'll look crazy. Then they pick one, then they fucking shoot it. It's all like really fast turnaround. And then, I mean, the broadcast spot and myself have been editing the stuff we shot like since the day it wrapped. And like, no, I mean, I have to get stuff out like end of day, basically.
What's really cool about—
it's crazy, like
shooting,
some stuff.
I feel like what's really cool about shooting cars, it's like, if you're working with Genesis has, you know, a certain amount of models. And like every year they come out with a new version of each model. So it's like, you're always gonna be shooting like, what, 4 to 8 to 10 spots guaranteed every year?
Yeah, which is really, I mean, that's why people like, a lot of directors like to work in automotive because of that. It's almost like a retainer, because they're just always going to come out with new stuff. The other thing is, most directors and DPs get paid per shoot day. Most commercials are one shoot day. Automotive is like always like 3 or 4 because it's just, there's so much to get done. There's like, they get like extra stuff for like that they can use of just the car driving for like a separate spot later. So you just make more money that way, because you pre-pro for months where you're not making any money, and then just to have one shoot day, you know, you make a fourth of the money if you had 4.
So true. Wow. Yeah.
It's like those big campaigns, you just make more money.
That's but, cool.
Dude, it's really cool. I mean, just so much lighting, playing with lights. Like, it was cool too. I had a little bit of time. Like, we did a test shoot, so I knew kind of where I wanted to put the lights, but like, it's just cool when you have everything black and then you're like, okay, how am I going to illuminate the car but also make it cool? I usually like my car, just like shoot a light across the side of it, not like at it, but like almost parallel to it. So you just get, like, get the outline of a line, you know?
With a spotlight?
Yeah,
attachment?
So, well, no, mostly like I did like softbox on the outside of the car, and then some barn door stuff I wanted to like cut out, like just like I illuminate like kind of like the back of the car. So I'm like shooting and it's like, there's a lit up part of the car, but it's behind what I'm shooting. So it's almost like the shadow side in an interview. Mm-hmm. I always think that looks kind of cool.
What did you think was the biggest takeaway from shooting something at night opposed to the day?
Yeah, I think mostly, honestly, the thing I've been thinking about, it's just like, yeah, just like trying to get more contrast in my shots. And I look back at shots that I like felt like back in the day I shot that I didn't feel like worked even at the time. I'm like, why didn't it work? And I, every time I look at it, it's like, oh, it's because like the whole shot is kind of bright.
It's kind of the same. It's kind of like flat.
It's kind, like, kind of the same. Mm, and I hate that. It almost
evenly lit.
It almost looks like a soap opera. You know, it doesn't look like, it like, doesn't look like a movie at all.
Doesn't have that shadow side kind of situation.
Or even just in the shot, if you just like have some dark spots and some light spots, I think it looks dope.
Mm. I think what's cool is you're learning that and you're shooting mainly cars, but you'll be able to take that into whatever you shoot in the future.
Yeah, totally. It's
I also
like an idea.
I'm really excited for the day where you are that like the main DP or director on these like huge productions.
And I want to be just like that fucking guy, just yelling so loud, so excited. And like he was like us. We're like, you know, when we get a shot, and we're like, fuck yeah. Most directors I've ever worked with, like real like big directors, are so like subtle and like they're like understated kind of, which I respect, but I'm not like that.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see a guy get the shot and be like, fuck yeah, you know, like it was so dope. Like it made everyone super excited.
Fired
to, like,
up the whole point to the DP, Jim, good shit. Yeah, let's fucking
seriously
go.
Like he was like the whole time.
That's awesome.
The other fires thing that was up. Interesting is Rodrigo, and I won't share like his trade secrets or anything, but a lot of checking on the phone. He'd be like, what about this shot? And like would look at his phone like so much.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool.
So like
he had like a fancy app that like it had focal lengths. I think it's like CadRage. Oh. I think I have that. Mm. Yeah. And he would like think about a shot and he just bring his phone over there. Cause I mean, it's so easy. And I'm like, wow, you know, just doing a lot of phone stuff. And then he'd get like the obviously the shot set up. But
speaking of funny things directors say, I was shooting BTS for this like country music artist and the director was so funny. It was a, you know, we were dealing with a cowgirl. It was obviously that kind of shoot, and he was just like, yeah, so we're just gonna get this chick just fucking nuking on this on this horse, and he kept using the term nuking. He's like, we just need it really authentic, man. We gotta just get her fucking nuking on this horse. And I'm like, I've never heard that term used like
he's
that.
He's talking like hauling ass.
She's just like, we're just gonna get her just tracking. She's just gonna be nuking.
Just nuking, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
So you can start using that if you want. That's a fun
one.
You
know what I mean?
Get the car fucking nuking. I really like that. That's fun.
Yeah. I feel like it plays
totally
with cars.
Totally.
So funny. Well, I'm glad it went well.
Yeah,
dude.
Went well, dude.
And you're finally back.
I know. I'm back and I'm also not sick anymore. So I was in Portugal and the week after I was living on the toilet, a little bit TMI,
I
got a crazy stomach flu and it was miserable. But then I was thinking about how on the flight home, I was like sick and I was kind of feeling it in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But I was good. Like I didn't have to use the bathroom. And then it hit the day after. And I mean, it was like every 30 minutes on the dot. And I was thinking about, I've never had a travel day where like I got sick and that would
that
be,
sucks.
The
be the
worst.
Yeah, that'd be the worst. Brutal. That would cap it off.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had a bad one where I'm like puking on the plane or pooping. I pooped on the plane for sure.
Anyways, I went to Portugal for 10 days with my fam and it
looked
was
dope.
It was honestly an amazing trip. Portugal, it may be recency bias. I think it's my favorite country in all of Europe.
I felt like that after I left Portugal.
We talked about this.
That out loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just dope, dude.
So it's just like the culture. I mean, really I feel like every country in Europe has like a very unique culture to it, but Portugal was just incredible. The food was incredible. People are so nice. It's also, compared to other countries in Europe, extremely cheap.
Yeah.
For example, we went out to a very nice, my dad was there working for like the first half. So me and my sister were just exploring and we went out to like a pretty nice restaurant. So for example, we got 2 glasses of wine each, an appetizer, 2 entrees and dessert.
Big spender.
Yeah.
Big spender.
It was €88 total, which is probably about like $95 or $100.
Right.
You go out to that same dinner, that same caliber of restaurant here in LA.
Oh yeah, screwed, dude.
It's a $200,
$250 at least. Like each glass of wine was only $6.
Right, that's
which
so
is
rad.
Crazy.
Do they not tip in Europe?
I don't really think
so. I remember when I was there, actually in Portugal, I had a meal. It was like not like a nice place, but I still had like steak, fries, fucking a glass of wine each. And it was like €16 for all that for both of us. And then I gave the guy just like a €20 bill. And then he was like, going to get the change. I was like, no, you can keep it. And he was like, so touched. He was like, thank you so much. Like he like touched his heart to his hand to his heart and then chucked my hand.
Dude, these Americans, so they're tipping. Tip. Yeah. Americans, they're tipping, man. Let's go.
I know. But let's not tip no more.
Yeah, totally. Wait, I saw Sebastian Maniscalco TikTok and he goes, had to pay a COVID fee at dinner last night. He asked the waiter, what's the COVID fee? He goes, oh yeah, we got to wipe down the menus. He goes, I'm paying you $3 to wipe down the menu. Get the fuck out of here.
It's crazy. All the little fees restaurants are putting on nowadays are nuts.
That's
dude.
Ridiculous.
Total ridiculous.
But anyway, so Portugal is really cool. I went to Lisbon. We were in Lisbon and then Porto. Lisbon was incredible. Porto, I was like not as much of a fan of. It was still cool. It just, something about Lisbon was incredible. It's really hilly, which is, it makes you really sweaty when you're walking around, but the architecture, every building is painted like this. It's either yellow, like salmon red, or like green or blue. Dope. And it is just awesome. I had such a blast just walking around taking photos. We did get a little boned by weather. And then I got boned with weather in Japan. So I've learned a little bit about how I like to travel. So a couple things. Weather really affects your trip.
Totally.
If it's raining, it's just not the same experience.
Just don't go.
Exactly.
If it's raining, just cancel.
I will say, I'm someone who, if I'm traveling, especially out of the country, I want to try really good restaurants and do my research on ones that are are really good. And some people just don't care about the food when they travel. So when you travel, I think it's important to be on the same page with people of like, okay, are we going to go about this? Like, are we going to go out and go to like nice restaurants or find like those hidden gems of like hole in the walls? That's really important to me. And I just can't really vibe with people who don't really care about the cuisine. If
he
you're going
vibe
by the
with
country.
His sister is what he's trying to do.
She was down. She was
not
down.
With someone.
No, honestly, like I will say
out.
Like my sister was super about it. Like we would do a lot of research, and also TikTok's really great for traveling, finding like the restaurant.
Sure.
But some of the people that I was with in Japan, they didn't really care. And I was like, nah, like let's try
especially
to find
you're
like
in Japan.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm like, if we're in Japan, best let's go sushi, find the best ramen. Sushi or best ramen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. I also don't like traveling with big groups.
No,
it just slows everything down. That's another thing I learned.
Can't do it.
As far as food goes, it can really bring people together. Mm-hmm. I learned that. Like
food brings people together. No, never, dude. Never heard that before.
No.
Put on a poster.
No, hold on. It's cliche, but I will say, like, you go out to a restaurant and you have a great meal and great conversation. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do.
Best,
it really is. What else? Oh, okay. So, I was using my Fujifilm X106, and I used it a lot in Japan, and I used it every single day in Portugal. And it is by far my favorite camera I've used.
Wow.
And you've heard the saying, like the best camera is the one that you have on you. Mm-hmm. And I totally think that's true. I really felt like I was able to stay in the moment, take photos of something that captured my eye, and then really still feel like I was present. And I feel like there's been trips where I've taken either, you know, a bigger camera, Sony, or been so caught up in trying to get both like photo and video that it kind of takes you out of the moment.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about having one fixed focal length and just a small camera that I can have over my shoulder. I don't really, you know, notice it too much while I'm walking. And I can just take a photo of something that I think is cool and keep it pushing.
That's the thing, dude, because I usually do both. When I travel, I try to make a video and I take a lot of photos. You can take photos and be totally present. You can't really make a video and be present. Because you kind of have to be thinking about, okay, would this shot make sense with this shot? And you like, all of a sudden you get into that kind of world. And all of a sudden you're like half on the trip, half making a video, but it's fucking worth it, dude. I like having the video when I get home. And it's fun. But like, you're not that present, low-key, making a video on a trip.
You think you're like 70-30?
Yeah, probably. To be honest, 70 but making a video, 30 like hanging with my friends, probably.
95,
but photos you can be like,
photos you can just snap like, and just keep going.
Photos are a lot easier. I will
and
say
by themselves, they're standalone.
I will say though, I did shoot both photos and video, and I'm gonna be working on, I haven't started yet, but I filmed just horizontal video, like just what's his name? Tim in the Wild.
Tim to the Wild.
Just like Tim, yeah.
Timmy Wild.
Just I tried to get like photos. I would try to get shots that I would take as photos, but just still videos. And I'm going to make a video about that. But I started posting on YouTube again. I made one video.
Wow, you made one video.
I made one video, but I'm going to start posting more on YouTube. And I will say, it feels really good to make horizontal videos and long form content again.
It's the best. God, it's so much more rewarding, dude.
Yeah.
Bang,
but I'm going to be making a video about my trip to Portugal. And I'm gonna try to make a bunch of different types of videos. I also think that me and Brayden have been talking about this a lot. I've been talking to Ed Lee and Jayhawk a lot about it. They go hard on YouTube, and it's just like, I feel like you're limited to what you can do with short form. And in my new video, or in the first video that I made for YouTube, I just spent like 2 or 3 minutes at the end just like talking to the camera. And you can't do that on short form. Mm-mm. And I just feel like it's a great play to build a deeper connection with your audience and also just try different things. And I just feel like it's the play. Like it feels like if you can build an audience on YouTube, it's just a different audience. Like it's a deeper connection. And we were talking about how like not every view is the same. Like, you know, maybe 5,000 views on a YouTube video is equivalent to, I would say, like a couple hundred thousand on TikTok. It's just not the same.
I have about 17 filmed, haven't cut one.
Yeah,
but I filmed so much when that season ends.
Yeah, I filmed so many, dude. I just need separate things. Yeah, all separate things.
Fuck yeah.
Let's go. I just need to cut them, dude.
Yeah, it's hard. It's harder. That's such an obstacle.
Shit just pops up, dude. Then you go like, oh, I got to work on this. I got to do this. We got to pod like in. Then I'm like, oh God, but I'm going to.
I'm going to make a YouTube video, dude. When I go to New Zealand, I'm shooting it this way.
I think I might take the vertical stuff.
I might take photos horizontal too.
Come on.
Nice.
Fuck it, dude.
Show them what's up.
I don't care.
So another thing I'll say is I have been wanting to, I think, get back into YouTube and make YouTube videos, but I had in my head, I was putting all this pressure on myself. I was like, to do YouTube, it has to be this crazy filmed and crazy edited video, and I have to be doing it every single week. And I just got real with myself and I was like, fuck that. Like, take the pressure off of yourself. I'm not gonna commit to every single week. I'm gonna do ideally like, you know, 2 a month, maybe 3 if I'm feeling like ambitious. But I was feeling like, I had this like gut feeling of like this itch to like make a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I was just gonna do it. And yeah. I think that
we gotta put it on a poster, but I feel like we gotta do that more.
If you're feeling like you're being pulled to do something, like act on that feeling immediately instead of telling yourself like, I feel like I want to do this, but maybe I'm, you know, making up excuses for myself of why I can't do it. I feel like just act on it immediately and like go from there.
Yeah, dude.
I'm hyped that you started making them, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's gonna be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 103 of the 505 Pod. If you're still here, please leave us a like, drop a comment, hit the sub button. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.